Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. So no big surprise, I talk a lot. And now I can share some of the incredible people that cross my path and the interesting conversations that we have. The Private Practice Secrets podcast is all about sharing our business experiences and harnessing our collective wisdom. My guests are amazing. They're bold, brave, and they're honest. There are many laughs, and surprisingly, there's frequent talk of wine. We're sure you're really going to enjoy these unplugged private practice chats. So settle in. Let's get the conversation started. Jacinta McMahon, well done. Our epic technology intellect has got us connected. No mean feat between the two of us. For everybody listening, Jacinta is the founding CEO, epic boss lady at Learning Fundamentals. And I'm going to get Jacinta to explain what Learning Fundamentals is because it is absolutely exquisite. So talk to us. What is it? What do you guys get done?
Okay, well, I suppose we're essentially a centre for children with a whole variety of learning problems, ranging from children with autism, children with dyslexia, some children with intellectual disabilities, through to children who've missed out on some basics for whatever reason, children who've missed a lot of school due to illness, travel. So yeah, we have children from prep through to about year 10 from a variety of background schools. Yeah, we're located in Sandringham and have been going for now 6 years in our current squash.
We need to talk about the start of it, but I also want you to explain it. You're a bit of a rogue element on this podcast because you're not an allied health provider. You are an honorary speech pathologist and an honorary psychologist and OT, but what are you by training?
So my background is primary teacher. So I taught for many years in Catholic primary schools. And then in early 2000, actually, I went back and did my postgraduate qualifications in learning disabilities, which led me into still working within schools in a coordinating capacity. So, you know, organising learning plans and PSGs and funding applications. So I worked in Catholic and then in a couple of independent schools in that role and became increasingly frustrated with the amount of funding available for children with learning problems, and always had this dream of starting this centre that was a dream. So I worked towards it and started working from home, and then took the plunge and set up this centre in downtown Sandy. I've got to say as well that the centre would never have happened if it wasn't for help from my dear dad, who believed in me and sort of had his own small business. And I suppose he really helped finance and helped me make that next step, which I would never have been able to do without him. And he's up with God now, but I've got a picture on the wall that reminds me of him. And I feel like every time I walk in, he's there. He's saying, come on. Keep working.
Of course he's there. Where else would he be?
Yeah. I do feel that I would never have done this without his help.
Wow. I didn't appreciate that motivator. That's a big share. Yeah. That's very cool. Mm. Very cool. Very cool. Take me back to that moment when you left paid employment and you went into tutoring. And I'm doing tutoring in air quotes.
Good,
because
I know
what you think about tutoring in air quotes. So correct my language, but remind me about that step away from paid employment.
Mm.
Then I want to go into the step into business.
Because it was a big step. So I was working part-time. I think I was working 3 days a week at an independent school in that coordinating role. Then I started taking on some private students at home and sort of set up at home, and I guess built it to a point where financially we were comfortable for me to say, okay, let's leave the education system and maintain what I've got and build what I've got. So in terms of the terminology, and it's quite contentious sort of in our industry, I suppose, because, you know, myself and my colleagues, we call ourselves specialist teachers or consultants because when I think of a tutor, I think of, you know, a university student helping a young child with their homework or you know, there's tutoring companies that do wonderful things as well, but we're quite specialised. So we assess the children, figure out where they're at and develop their program. So that's why I guess we don't like to be called tutors. Yeah.
What would you really like us all to call you?
Well, I suppose educational consultants, I think okay. We are. Yeah. Yeah. Or specialists in education or.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll practice during the podcast and then okay. You can continue to improve my language later on. So, moving out of school, working as an educational consultant, you were based at home?
I was based at home.
Yeah.
So, I set up our study. And you know, gradually acquired lots of resources. You know, at the time it was professional. I felt it was professional enough. I was seeing kids one-on-one. The parents would enjoy sitting up in my front lounge room and reading magazines and
playing with
the dog. So it was comfortable and it worked. But then as I think I built up to something like 35 kids a week, and it was becoming, and I had my own children coming and going, and it was sort of, it just naturally got to a point where I thought, this isn't quite as professional as I'd like it to be. And plus then, because we were having so many inquiries, like a friend who has similar background to me came on board, and she was working here on a Friday as well with me, so we were overflowing out of my study, and just all of that was time. But if I was going to grow, I had to move out of home.
We now know that your dad was a motivator. What were the other motivators for growth, getting it out of home?
Well, I suppose, it got to the point where I didn't, it was impacting on our home life a bit, because I think one of my kids was still at school and a couple were at uni. So they were coming and going, and I was telling them to be quiet, and it just started impacting a little bit. And plus, I was often seeing children, you know, from after school, so say from 3 till 7, and that was sort of meal time, and I'd be trying to get my own children to keep the noise down and don't swear, and you know,
some of your finer parenting moments. Yeah.
And the other thing too was increasingly I was having parents come to me with a whole pile of assessments, and you know, they'd seen all these different specialists in allied health, often, you know, allied health professionals. And so more and more I was contacting them and trying to work in union with all those people, hence my sort of dream of having a centre where we had a speechy and we had an OT and we had a psych and we had everyone who could work together. And to do that, I had to move out. So that was the real impetus, I guess. I started looking at places that might be suitable, and then this sort of dream started to become a reality. And I have a wonderful accountant, and he was pushing me. He was saying, "You can do this. This is the time. Now's the time." So,
go, go, go. I remember a cup of tea wouldn't have been tea, it would have been a coffee. I remember a coffee on a Saturday morning with your beloved, and it was kind of on the whiteboard, and I remember the accountant was very energetic. And then the next thing I knew, the doors were open. It went, am I right in thinking it all went quite quickly?
I suppose it did, but that's typically me. Once I make a decision, that's it. We just go with it. I'm not a procrastinator. But yeah, I guess. I mean, a bit of planning, finding the right place. And then I had a few colleagues who were ready to come on board, so the timing was right for them. We wanted to start at the beginning of a school year, so it all sort of fell into place, I guess, in that way. And then we spent that summer fitting out the space and making it all lovely and doing lots of IKEA shopping for bookshelves and things like that.
I'm delighted to hear there was a bit of planning.
Exciting. Yeah, probably not enough planning business-wise, you know, in terms of planning how the business was going to look and we planned how it was going to look and how the day-to-day was going to work, but probably the whole business aspect of running a business I didn't have any idea about.
Then.
And probably if I know what I knew then what I know now, I probably would never have done it.
Oh, I do not believe those words.
Yeah. Oh, look, steep learning curve. And I can look at it, look back now and feel proud that I've got to where I have, but it was hard. The first probably 12 to 18 months were really hard.
What were the toughest bits?
Well, I was still doing a lot of contact hours myself to earn enough, to bring in enough money, I guess. And I was trying to do all the book. I was trying to learn about bookkeeping because I knew nothing about that. Trying to have enough time to spend with families, but still have time to spend with my own family who were still all at home and reasonably independent, but I still, was needed. So, yeah, that was – and just – I remember working, especially the first 6 months, I remember starting work at 8 or 7:30, I think I was starting with some kids, and then not finishing till 7:30 at night. I mean, I might have a gap in the middle of the day, but then thinking, oh, gosh, I've got to get all these receipts entered, and I've got to learn about this, and that was the hardest. Now I've outsourced that; it's much better.
Absolutely, That is the big struggle—the midnight management, as I call it.
Yeah, and it's not like that now. Like it's a lot more because I've been able to outsource it to people who know all of that
and love it.
Yeah,
can't get enough of it. And aren't we lucky to have those people who just dig those numbers and processes? So
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. I haven't been down to your center for ages and ages. If I walk in the door, who's in there? You've got a massive team.
Yeah, so we've got now, so it started with me and I think three other special ed teachers. And now we have 19 on our team, on our teaching team.
Wow.
And I have an office manager who's in for about 18 hours a week, and also another lovely helper who comes in sort of one morning a week and does some other office assistant type duties. So yeah, we're a big family now.
And all special education consultants?
Yeah, so everyone on our team is a qualified teacher and with a lot of experience, and everybody has some specialist area that they've gone on with. So for example, some have gone on and done extra qualifications in maths intervention. So a lot of us have extra literacy qualifications. We have a wonderful lady who's worked in specialist schools with children with autism. So she's sort of our autism specialist. So when our little ones come in, she often works with them, and she goes into a few schools and works within schools as well. So yeah, we're all specialists in our own different areas.
Yeah, nice to have a really complementary but diverse kind of crew on hand.
Yeah, yeah.
How much clinical teaching work are you doing versus management work versus golf?
Yes, exactly. Sorry. So currently I'm doing 13 hours a week with students. So that's weekly, regular. Any new referrals that come in, I see. So that averages out, depends on the month, but like in May, for example, now we've already had 8 new referrals come in. So that's been 8. So I've had those 8 appointments. But yeah, I guess normally probably 10 a month, taking out the school holiday months. So yeah, so probably 15, 16 hours contact with families, plus then all the extra phone calls and, managing everything else and managing the 19 team members, because that takes time too.
And how have you developed those leadership and team management skills?
Sometimes I don't think I've managed them as well as I should have. We used to meet once a month when we were a smaller team, and now it's just become, really difficult to get everybody together. So we have one big meeting once a term. We send out regular emails, newsletters to the team about what's happening and just reminders about, keeping updated on the calendar and so forth. I don't know. I'm probably a quiet type of leader. I think I'm quite accessible, and approachable. I try and build a sort of caring environment there, well, for the families, obviously, but for all the team. I think everyone feels very valued. I hope they do. Yeah. So I'd probably describe myself as that type of leader. Gentle.
And patient.
Gently does it. Yeah.
You've had team members with you for years, haven't you?
Mm.
From the get-go. So your staff retention is pretty fab.
Yeah, I've still got the originals who started are still with me. Yeah.
Wow.
Which is great.
Very big tick of approval.
Yeah. Well, they, I mean, some of the team members work only 2 or 3 hours a week. If they're, some of them are employed full time in schools and they just come and do one evening. Some just want to work one day a week or whatever. So I've got probably 3 who work almost full time and the rest come and go in hours that suit them.
That makes sense to have a flexible workforce, particularly if you're needing to have really, yeah, lots of spots available in those after school.
Yeah.
Beautiful. What does your team do brilliantly?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this. I think we, well, I suppose it comes down from me and who I choose to have working there. But I think we are, as a team, a very nurturing, caring group of people. And that really comes because, and I guess that's why I don't like the tutoring label, because we're so much more than that 1 hour of working with the child, where the phone calls to the mum who's been upset by something that happened at school, and where the emails back and forth, and where, you know, and there's often tears in the centre, you know, if a child gets a new diagnosis and parents, you know, I've had mums and dads sitting in my office both crying, and then I almost join them because that's the type of person I am, you know. And I think they're all like that. Everyone is genuine in their care for the families and the children. It's sort of, yeah, it's not looked at as I come in and work 1 hour and off, you know, off I go. It's, I guess, teaching in like your allied health stuff. It's more than just a job.
Yeah, it's a big investment in relationships.
Yeah, definitely.
That piece is pretty undervalued and underestimated.
Yeah.
Pretty heavily invested.
And I mean, I suppose I haven't really, I mean, a few people have come and gone and only stayed a little while with us. And maybe part of that is that they're not the same as us in that way. They need to, you know, there needs to be an understanding that if you see children for 3 hours a week, there's going to be a lot of extra time that you're putting into those 3 families. And I guess a couple of people have come and gone because they didn't quite get that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And I mean, that's fine. And they're probably better in other areas, but the area that we have at our learning centre probably wasn't the right fit for them for that reason.
Yeah, that's okay. I guess the sooner everyone identifies that as being a thing, the better.
Yeah, for sure.
You must have recruited incredibly well.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've never advertised for people. They've sort of come my way. So, yeah, the original people who've stayed with me, and then, yeah, different people who I've met through LDA, you know, the Learning Difficulties Association, you know, a few of them have contacted me and said, do you need any extra people? And it's always happened at a time that I do. So it's been, again, I think that's Dad up there saying, yep, we'll sort this one.
Yep, you're in the wing. I'm sending them your way.
More recently, I did further training with the Australian Dyslexia Association, and so I've met a lot of people through that association, and a few of those people have come on board as MSL therapists, which was the training we did. So that sort of increased the team as well in a really positive way.
I'm hearing growth. I'm hearing more, the phone's ringing more and more often. I'm hearing, like, fair to say, listeners, Jacinta and I meet for lunch on a reasonably regular basis.
And often over a glass of wine.
As I've said in my marketing, wine is mentioned on virtually every podcast. And we were both giggling about whether we should get something between us while we record this. But please,
it's too early.
That you haven't. Yeah, it's only just too early.
Yeah.
So back to my line of question was, I'm hearing you talk about numbers so much more and the number of referrals, and I know that you've had in the past some goals about the number of billable hours per week that you've been aiming for, and a couple of times I've had an SMS with a bit of a tick and the number of billable hours, and I know exactly why I got that text. How are you managing that quite rapid growth?
Yeah, I guess that's been one of the things that was, I guess, initially hard to deal with, because I had a business plan. I had a bit of and projections that I'd worked on with my accountant about where we thought we might be heading, and it got there quicker than I anticipated. And that's kind of hard because I couldn't predict what was going to sort of happen, and so I hadn't planned for it, and things like that happened. Now I guess I'm at the point where and we've spoken about this, Kathy, about whether we set up another centre or whether, because I don't like having a waiting list. I don't like saying to families, "We're really sorry, we can't help you at the moment." So that's my next stage, my next thinking. Yeah, but I just need to get some energy to do that.
Where does your energy come from?
Yeah, good question. Because I think when I was in those harder times when I was just really flat out working and my head was too full, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I couldn't go back to sleep because I'd be thinking, oh my goodness, has that been done? And I wonder if that family's been contacted or did someone do the, and it
child
was just
locked in the office.
So I think having the good people around me now, like having my wonderful office manager, Lizzie, to take stuff on that I can get out of my head, and has allowed me to have, like this year, as you know, I'm back playing golf, terrible golf, but still I've played nine holes this morning.
Yeah. Well done.
That's really important. And like exercise, like I've really got back into a routine of exercise and your hair, and we all know it, like we read about it, we hear about it, but you know, you've got to have regular exercise. But I think with small business, you think, oh, I'm too tired. There's no way I can.
There's no daylight left.
But I feel like and this was your advice, it's blocked off my calendar. Like it's just I'm not available. Yeah. So that's a really positive thing for me that I'm just no, and little things like I've turned the email off my phone I'm not accessible all the time. I can't just keep checking because it was all becoming obsessive with me. You know, I'd wake up 2:30 in the morning and think, I'll just see if that mother's got back to me yet.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like crazy things. And so now I'm not doing that now.
Okay, that's good. So that's on the down.
Yeah. So that's acknowledging that it was affecting me and hence affecting everything.
Mm. Yeah. You're not your best personal self coming to work after a day, an evening of that sort of interruption and like a
sleep. But I think that's just at different times of when things go crazy or when you have too many, you know, have lots of referrals and all of that. It's just managing it, like you've suggested, blocking time out when it's my time.
Yeah. Mm. How have you learnt to enjoy the management side of the business? I'm just going to run on the assumption that you're enjoying it a whole lot more than you used to.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, like I said, I'm proud of my knowledge now. Yeah. But like I know so much more than I did 6 years ago.
How did you get to that point?
Well, I think having the good people to, you know, having good mentors and having people, like I have a wonderful bookkeeper and accountant and who I can say when they, you know, when they present all these documents to me, they go through it with me and I can say, I don't understand. Can you explain that again? And they will. So that
patiently
been,
again for the 10th time.
But it's kind of good because it puts me in a position similar to some of our kids. You know, I often think that. I think, yeah, this is what learning's like for some of our kids. Yeah. And I'll say to them, can you explain that in a different way? Because I don't know. What are you talking about? So it's actually a good learning lesson for me because I think that's what some of these little kids who we go over and over the same stuff with and then we think we have to present it in a different way and then they'll get it.
Different chunks. I remember asking my accountant at the time to draw it for me on the whiteboard and he just looked at me and he said, that's just not going to happen. And I said, yeah, it is.
It needs to.
Give it your best shot.
Yes.
Because otherwise this isn't going to end well.
Yeah. It's multi-sensory learning in all different forms. Yes.
You're enjoying it more? You've learnt more?
Absolutely.
More productive as a manager?
Yeah. Yeah, probably. And it's funny now because I'm having Fridays like today, I don't go into work. And I don't feel I need to now because everything's, you know, and that's been a big step. You know, I still used to feel I need to be in there to make sure things are ticking over, but I've got to a point now where I know they will be because I've got things in place and people in place and, yeah.
I'm guessing that you've got loads of policies and procedures written down, gasp, holding your breath, working towards a really formalised, useful document, but that's something you've been working on, yeah?
Yeah, and I mean, and that's always changing. I'm just this week been updating our policies and procedures manual, and I always say it's always a work in progress. But
Absolutely, it should be.
Yeah, because it changes all the time. And I think, you know, like when new team members come on, we have a good induction process, I think, now where we go, where Lizzie goes through all the finer details of how we work. So, yeah, I mean, always improving and, yeah, recently and learning from other people, like when learning other practitioners will tell me something they're doing and I think that's fabulous. I'm going to get that started, you know. And one thing I didn't do from the beginning was I didn't collect my – I mean, it's obviously all on our system, on our MyOps system, all their details, but I've just recently – use Google Forms to put all my input, all my data, so that I can, you know, now at a glance I can see that, you know, May is our biggest intake month and has been for the last 4 years, and year threes are our biggest is our biggest intake year, you know, things
That's
like that.
Really
that I
good to know.
Yeah, it really is, and I didn't probably a few months ago I didn't have that visually, whereas now I have. So that's that, and that was a friend who's done that with her practice telling me about it. I thought, that's super. So I've spent lots of time getting that together, and now it's there. It's easy. I can keep running with it. But if I'd started that from the very, very beginning, it would have been even better.
Yeah. Mm. I often hear that although people are using practice management software, and I know that you use an equivalent that I've just forgotten the name of, but within that software, there's all sorts of reports you can get, and that reporting is really underutilized. So just before we jumped on the call today, I wanted to see how many tickets I'd sold to an event, and I could get to it two or three ways. And by doing that, I could make sure that the numbers were all matching up and correct. And I just hit print, and, you know, on a page of A4, I've got the whole summary of who's purchased what and what date and what's still outstanding. And there's not a spreadsheet in sight, which delights me no end. But nearly always in the practice management software or the client management software, there's incredible depth of reporting that you can get. But because we sort of don't think with that mind, we don't always go looking for it. So therefore, we don't use it. So therefore,
exactly.
We don't know.
So I need that. That's one area that I'd like to get more knowledgeable in, so that I, you know, when people, and for example, things like, you know, they're looking at introducing the phonics screen, you know, for year one children. It'll be really interesting to see if that changes our intake of kids. You know, if that's done, are we going to start getting children at a younger age, which would be great, because often when we see these poor little things in year three and four, and they've already had 4 years at school and they already think they're a bad learner, you know, even though they're not, if they're identified earlier, it can only be a positive thing.
As a business owner, that's part of what we all need to be doing, is reading quite widely and reading out of discipline or reading out of industry, and trying to kind of make some really informed guesses and hunches about what's coming up in the future. And that's a great example of, well, what if, and what if, and what impact could that have? And the NDIS, we've spoken about the NDIS and how that could change up the whole profile of special educators as well. And, oh, my gosh, I hear the deep sigh. And at the risk of us being here for 2 hours, as we usually are when we talk about literacy in schools, you know, it's been in the media the last few weeks on the back of the budget, blah, blah, blah. We just, you know, your business in particular is really kind of agile in terms of reacting ahead of state and federal governments might drop in.
Yeah, well, while you were talking, that things like, you know, identifying children, you know, identifying children younger and younger, and like that was in the news a few weeks ago about, you know, getting into the preschools and the kindergartens, and because, you know, if a child has, and, you know, all the speeches will know, if a child has poor phonological awareness skills when they're four or five, that's a real predictor for, you know, poor literacy. So if we can intervene, if we can screen and intervene when they're in kinder or prep, it's only going to benefit, you know, everybody. It's going to get the intervention happening. Yeah, hopefully that's sort of an area I really want to get into, is doing more screening of children, or teaching the schools how to do their own screening, you know, of incoming preps and things, so that they have that information.
Product development, which is what you're great at. which is what you're really good at. Am I also hearing your gorgeous little puppy?
Yes, he's here.
Is
he's
helping?
Gus. Yes, he's helping. He's helping.
He
always
is best suited to a visual medium. So,
yes, definitely. Yeah.
But good on you, Gus. He's quite a feature on Facebook from time to time.
Yes, and all the mischief he gets up to.
Yeah.
Actually, I must say he's good for business. I often take him into work.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's amazing. He will just come and sit and, you know, the children who, I mean, there's some who, are, you know, don't like dogs, but majority of kids love a puppy and he'll just sit there, sit under the table, sit on the floor when we're playing a game. It's really, yeah, he's my therapy dog.
Absolutely. Mm. Gosh, I think there should be more.
Yeah.
Business is rocking along, you're busy, the phone's ringing. You've learned a lot about business and a lot about management and a lot about people. What else has your business taught you?
That's a tough one. You know what? It's taught me, and I'll share a little story with you about my kids, but yeah, it's taught me that, so I pretty much started this in my mid-40s, I guess, and it's taught me that you're never too old to try to, you know, to change or to go, okay, bite the bullet. And I have one birthday or something, or Christmas, my kids gave me this card and it meant so much. It said, it was just after I'd opened the centre, and it said, "We're so proud of what you've done, Mum. You know, we've watched you develop this and we're so proud that you've done it." And I just thought, I'm so glad I could show my kids that, yeah, just I'm not winding down. Like, you know, I'm winding up. It's sort of, you know, often people think of, you know, when you're getting into your 50s, you think, oh, well, you know.
Time to slow down and put on.
Yeah, but it's sort of not
that
at all.
That is not you.
No. And I mean, I think with age comes wisdom and all that as well. Yeah. So they tell me.
Yep. Let me know when yours arrives. Mine might be soon after.
But life experience and, yeah, all those things. And I think that really helps in our industry, working with families, that, you know, yeah, I've lived through that. I've been through that. I know what you're going through. I know how hard it is, you know. So I think that gives credibility and understanding as well.
It makes some parts of delivering an awesome service a little bit easier or even a little bit different. It's not a total and complete.
It's not aspect. A prerequisite. No.
Yeah.
No, but it's certainly in some situations I think it's an add-on.
Agree. I give the chance to all of my guests to ask me a question. Have you been hatching a question that you want to throw to me? Or you can just wing it.
Well, I suppose you've certainly mentored me along the way, and you're always, what I love about you is that you're always, there's always something new coming. Kathy's got a new idea and you make it happen as well. So I suppose, yeah, what's next on the agenda for Kathy?
I'm really pleased to say that I don't necessarily know, although I have quite tight plans around scaling up my Allied Health business coaching service, and we're looking at building a membership portal. In fact, that's done. I think as of about now or a couple of hours ago, that should have all been built. So looking at providing a different service to different people as well.
Oh, yeah.
So that's all good to go. And that membership portal is going to have content and audio and videos. It's maybe going to have a mastermind class where people can kind of dial in and support each other. I'm really committed to building a community of allied health practitioners and special education consultants.
Yeah.
All of whom work with children with differences and their families to really support each other because, you know, OTs go to OT meetings and physios go to physio meetings and you guys go to your industry stuff and the speech paths do the spa stuff. There isn't a platform for everybody to mingle and get out of our silos. So
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, so I'm working really hard to provide that platform. I'm thinking I might do a business retreat, and I'm just thinking of some venues and some time frames for that. And I'm doing a lot of writing and hoping to do more speaking about allied health businesses. But then there's this great big part of my business plan and my whiteboard that is completely blank. And what I don't know is what's going to drop in.
Well, something will. You'll have some bolt of lightning. Yeah. And I mean, we've talked a bit about, you know, planning some specialized business coaching for my people, you know, for educational consultants setting up businesses and things. And I just think it's so important. And it's so important for our whole profession in that, you know, if, you know, I know there's lots of us out there who are working in, you know, still working from home or having, you know, having what they'd consider to be a really small business. But from my journey, you know, knowing what I know, if I'd known all that back then, it would have been probably made it a lot easier. So I think if we can get something organized with you
working with these people.
I think it's just a great idea. Everyone helping everyone.
Mm. Yeah, I love that idea. Mm. And it's interesting to think about what special educators will be doing in 5 years' time, because just as the landscape has shifted in disability and early intervention and my world, it's also about to shift probably quite significantly on top of previous shifts in
the
education.
I hope so.
Mm. Yeah, the education departments and the federal initiatives that will and won't sort of trickle down. So I do wonder whether in years to come special educators will be following in your footsteps and setting up private sector support services.
Well, certainly, you know, there's a lot going on to raise awareness about dyslexia. And, you know, there's a lot of people doing a lot of background work to try and make changes, you know, make government changes and make it a fundable disability, because it's a real disability for so many kids. There's some great organisations out there doing lots of wonderful work. So I hope, you know, that more practices or centres like mine will become available for families, because often and it's not necessarily, well, it's not the teacher's fault. Sometimes it's the school's fault, you know, that the teachers aren't informed, they need to be, because they're coming out of university, coming out of teachers with a teaching degree, but not necessarily knowing how to identify or how to teach children with dyslexia. So, yeah, more people getting into schools to teach the teachers and ultimately into the university. So our pre-service teachers are coming out well-trained.
With a good working knowledge of best practice.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. So I'm mindful of time and that knowing us, we'd still be here at 1 o'clock. If we're sitting here talking in a year's time, what will you be telling me about learning fundamentals?
Well, hopefully that it's still going strong and we're still supporting lots of families. I'd like to see us working. So at the moment, probably 95% of our clients come to our centre to see us, and the remaining 5% we see within schools. Often schools won't allow teachers, specialist teachers, to go in. They'll often allow speech pathologists and OTs, but they won't allow special ed teachers or consultants. So I'd like hopefully see a change in that, because then we can get out and do, and working in the schools as well, you get to work with the teachers as well as supporting the children. So I think it's a win-win. So that's sort of one area I'd really like to develop, get out and meet more of the principals and, you know, convince them that we're only there to support the children with the difficulties and help the teachers share resources, share ideas. Yeah, everyone's a winner.
Is there scope to do some more whole school consulting?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's something I'd really like to do a bit more of. And I guess that's balancing my time as well with my golf.
Yeah, best to keep that in balance and on the improve. Yeah.
No, yeah, so I would definitely like to get out and do some more work with schools. I really enjoy that. And I think I've spoken to you before, Kathy, about I'm not a natural presenter. I don't love standing up in front of a whole hall full of people. I can do it, but I don't love it. Whereas I do love going in and working with groups, and I think I'm good at it. So I can do that. That can be my goal for next year.
I'm trying so hard from stopping myself, challenging you with at least one international conference presentation between now and May next year.
Yeah, well, maybe.
But I'm not going to mention it.
Yes, I need a new goal. Maybe. Yeah, I just, you know, it just doesn't come as naturally to me as other things. I think like you're a natural speaker, although I'm a natural speaker here, I suppose, aren't I?
Yeah.
But I haven't got 100 people looking at me.
Yeah, but you've got potentially thousands listening to you.
Yeah.
I'll leave that one with you. I'll just plant that little idea.
Yeah.
And encourage that. Encourage that. What would you like allied health professionals to know about what you as special educators do?
Well, I mean, essentially, I guess I'd love, and all the allied health people we work with at the moment, we all work as a team. So in developing a learning plan, for example, it will often have input from the speech pathologist and the OT, special ed consultant, and we all work together. And also that from time to time, you and I have talked about this, we need to prioritise the therapy that the child needs. So it might be, okay, we're going to let's focus on the OT this term because we can't have this poor little child doing, overloaded with too many different things, and financially as well for the parents. That's often a big ask. So I guess, allied health professionals, I'd love to see all of us working together. And I went to a conference in Perth a few months ago, and it was a literacy and language conference, and there was there was equal number of speech pathologists and teachers there. And it was just wonderful, just all the dialogue and the sharing of ideas and questions and, things like that, if that could happen more often, where we're all at conferences. And there you go. There's your next project, all of us together.
What would you like me to do?
So I don't know, actually, but because you already have your wonderful conference. But all, I guess, just having at that conference, having the speeches and there was a lot of psychs there as well. And just even just the chatter around the lunch table about what you do, I've got this child, what would you suggest? And this resource and, sharing of different technology and, all that sort of stuff that we often don't get a time to sit down and share those things together. Like I'll share them with my teaching colleagues, and I'm sure all the OTs, when you get together, share with each other. But I think it's really, really positive. We've got so much, all of us have got this collective knowledge that we need to share.
Perhaps what I could do is offer a series of long lunches with a little bit of professional chit-chat on the side of it. That's something we could do.
Well, even like your networking that, you've organised a few things around Christmas, getting all the people together, I think that's a really positive thing. And, and even like passing on names of, knowing who to refer, often people will say to me, if we need, or the child's recommended to have some speech pathology, who do you recommend? Like knowing the good people, knowing the people that talk the same talk and have the same values, I think it's really important.
Yeah, that can take a fair bit of homework, particularly when there's so many more private practices and small businesses popping up. It's really nice to know who you want to play with.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to give you the second last word on this podcast. How about you give a shout out to your business and what you do and mention your website, and then let's wrap this one up.
Sure. So my website is learningfundamentals.net.au. And it's quite a good website, but it's probably one that needs some attention that I sometimes don't get to enough. but it's a good one in that, all of our team members are on there and their background and their interests and their specialties. I try to put things on of interest quite regularly, but I do the Learning Fundamentals Facebook page. I often put information on that I think is really interesting to families. We currently work with children from prep to year 10. So we have a number of our teachers are primary or early years trained, and then we have primary year trained specialist teachers, transition teachers, which is an important, kids moving from primary to secondary. We have a couple of our teachers who are sort of their specialty. They're really wonderful at knowing how to bridge that from primary to secondary. And then we have some great specialty sort of secondary teachers. So depending on what the child's needs are, depends who I allocate that child to. Mm.
Thank you so much.
I hope it's been okay.
You've been awesome. You're always awesome to talk to. We passed the hours.
Thank you. It's been that's been great to be a part of. I've listened to the other podcasts that you've done. They're wonderful. I think it's a great concept.
Alrighty, well, we might get you back in the future because it could be kind of fun to even have a podcast with a speech pathologist and have a talk about some of the language and literacy.
Yeah, that'd be excellent.
And changes. Whilst we don't necessarily know what it's going to look like this week, it could be interesting to have some conversation around that.
I think that'd be a great idea because the more we work together,
the better.
That's right.
Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the day. Thank you for your time. And, yeah, we'll be
in touch.
See you later.
Thanks,
bye.
Kathy. Okay, bye.
A big thank you for investing your time right through the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. We hope you really enjoyed the conversation. There's lots more just like it waiting for your listening ears. If you're running a private practice and keen for some more business know-how and confidence, head on over to my website, nakerconsulting.com.au. There you'll find business resources and inspiration. There's blogs, forms, templates. There's information about our conferences, workshops, web events, and more. While you're there, you're warmly invited to book yourself in for a free 30-minute coaching session. Let's find some solutions to your current business challenges. And yes, you are more than welcome to pick my brains. My business has a weird name, but it has a cool story. You can read about that when you're on the website. But let me spell it for you now. nacre.com.au. Thank you for listening to Private Practice Secrets. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.